ritual or relationship. We talked about last week, just to recap, again, the Galatians are standing at this point of decision. They've had some that have come and told them that that Paul, when he gave them the gospel, what they've said is that it's only part of it, that you actually have to keep the law in its fullness. You have to become a Jew. They're telling these Gentiles, you have to become a Jew in order to actually have favor with God. And so Paul's making his argument and trying to drive home the point that no, it is by faith alone in Jesus Christ's work alone that we have been accepted by God. And so what he's going to do now in chapter 4, after having gone back and looked at the promise that was given to Abraham, and that came years, 430 years before the law was ever given, he's now going back and he's saying that you've entered into that promise, and thereby you become a son or a daughter of the king. You've been adopted, and therefore you have a special relationship. Why would you trade that in to go back to the ritual lifestyle that you formerly had? A lifestyle where you're trying to earn God's favor through works and ritual. You have a relationship with the eternal Father. That's what Paul is arguing this morning. And he uses a term here. He says, first of all, in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, he says, but when the fullness of time had come, he describes our condition before we accepted Christ, that we were under bondage, that the law, if we were to try to keep the law actually condemned us, and it showed us our guilt. But he says, when the fullness of time had come, what Paul is saying is that God's timing is always perfect. We may not understand everything that God does in life. We were talking about this morning. You can say, why? Why did this thing happen to me or that thing? What Paul is saying is that at the perfect time, God's timing is perfect. At the perfect time, Christ came. What he's talking about is this, is that there have been over 4,000 years of human history recorded prior to Jesus coming, and that all of that God was preparing and leading up to the entrance and the introduction of his son on this planet. And that when the perfect time, the perfect conditions, the perfect situation came, and that perfect time and condition just so happened to be when Rome was in power, and trade was going in such a way that, and there were these different languages, and at just the perfect place, God sent his son in such a way that that gospel message could be spread through the whole world. When the fullness of time was come, God sent his son. Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive, and here's the word, the adoption as sons. We were outcast. We were on the outside. We were, the scripture says, children of darkness. We were without hope, being without God in the world, but God did something to change all of that. He sent Jesus Christ, and through Christ, he, through faith in what he did, we are now sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted into his family. I came across a little clip. I wanted to show you just a video clip. It's about 2.5 minutes long, just over 2 minutes long. It kind of shows you what adoption is like. And I thought this caught the heart of it. Dwayne, is that ready? Go ahead.
There's a lot of kids out there that just need love. They just need a parent. They just need someone to trust. October 2014, we were in a service where they preached on looking after the orphans and the widows.
The fact that there's not even room in the group homes or the shelters for them just really, I think to me at least, said, hey, there's a real need and you really need to do something.
So these are the prayer journals that I started in 2008, and we were thinking about the possibility of adopting a child. The amazing thing is that I would have started these right when Amira was inside her mommy's stomach.
Your heart breaks for the biological parents, even though, you know, it's not a good situation for Amira. And you leave from that and you're emotionally exhausted. And then you come home and you just think, well, here's this little 7-year-old girl. How emotionally exhausted must she be, you know, knowing that that's going on at the same time? And you just think about the loss that she must feel. And that's why we thought, well, we better do something to really make sure that she feels like super included.
Brad came up with a brilliant idea that we would propose to her. Brad got to propose on behalf of our family to Amira. Would you like us to adopt you, and will you adopt us, was the question. And of course she said yes, and everybody cheered. Because Jesus accepts me as his child, he's adopted me into his family, and we're heirs with Christ. Because of that, that motivates us.
Isn't that beautiful? Someone that was without hope, without a family, now being brought into the family that God had prepared for us. And you know what the scripture says? The scripture says that you and I have been brought into God's family. That he came to this earth, and in a sense, like that family was proposing to her, saying, would you be a part of our family? In a sense, that's what was taking place when Christ came. And Paul says that what he's been made is, he says this in Corinthians, he says, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm pleading with you as if I'm pleading in God's stead. Be reconciled to God. He's made the way. It's like a proposal of saying, it's here, I want you in my family. You realize that's what's happened for you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful thing that is, that we've been made, that we've been reconciled to God. What I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to go through a few verses, a few passages of Scripture that talk about what it's like to have God as our Father. To have God as our Father. See, it says here in Galatians 4, verse 6, because you're sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Daddy, Father is what that is. It's a cry of a child to a father that loves them. Now, not everyone has the benefit of growing up with a loving, perfect father. None of us have the benefit of growing up with a perfect father. If your dad was perfect, I'd like to meet him, but I grew up with a great father, and I'm grateful for him. But what we have in the Lord is a perfect father, perfect in every way. And so a lot of times when we talk about a father, that God is our father, some people don't understand that because their father may not have been that good to them. And so we have to understand, what does it mean to have God as your father? To have him as a perfect father. I want to take you to a few passages of Scripture. And Jesus kind of gives the pattern for a lot of it in actually Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 verses 1 through 4. Jesus, this is the Sermon on the Mount, he begins to refer to God as Father. Back in chapter 5. Saying that he's your Father. This personal relationship. And so Matthew 6, verse 1 says, take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, catch this, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. What Jesus is teaching in Matthew 6 is that our Father, because he's a perfect Father, he has perfect knowledge of us, even the secret things. He has perfect knowledge of our motives. Now, here's what's amazing about that. Here's what I find amazing, that God could have perfect knowledge of my motives and yet still call me his own. He knows everything I'm thinking. He knows the reasons I do the things that I do, and yet he still calls me his own. And hear what Jesus says, and he uses the same illustration about prayer and about fasting. He says, you do it in secret between you and the Lord, and you, Father, who has this perfect knowledge of everything that you do, has a perfect care for you as well. And he'll reward you in his way and in his time. We may have had good fathers when we were children, but they didn't have perfect knowledge of us. But it's kind of like this. And I'm going to tell a story on you. You probably don't remember. It's a good story. When he was about 4 years old, one time I was in my room and I was relaxing. And actually, I wasn't relaxing. I think I was sick, if I remember right. Starla and I both were sick at that time. And we still had to take care of Hudson, so we had the stomach flu. And so we were lying flat on our back, but he came in the room and he was wanting to know what he could do. And so I was trying to tell him what he could do. But I didn't have a whole lot of energy, you know. And so he had been running around so I was going to tell him, you know, something to do, like something. Either as a video to watch or something we're going to get him set up with. But anyway, he's running around, and I said, okay, I want you to listen to me, son. I want you to listen to me. And being 4 years old, full of a bundle of energy, he's standing there at the bed, and his feet are just moving 100 miles an hour. He had stopped. I said, I want you to stop running and listen to me. And his feet are just moving up and down while he's, you know, looking at me. I said, you're thinking about running, aren't you? And he grinned real big. He said, yeah, how'd you know? I said, I was a boy too. I know. You're looking at me, but you're thinking about something else, right? I had knowledge of it because I'd been there before. I had experienced it. Well, now, what I want you to understand is that God has perfect knowledge of you, and he even understands your thoughts, and he understands your deepest desires and the motivations behind it, and he knows. Now, the wonderful thing about our Father is, since he understands our motivations, he also is gracious with them. And my children sometimes will want to give me a gift. Usually, it's with money, except Hudson's been earning money, so now it's his own, but if he does that. But with the younger ones, it's with money that I actually give them in order to get me something, you know? You know what I'm talking about? You've been there for your parent. Your children bring you something, and it's because you bought it for yourself. But their heart was they wanted to do this for you. Well, do you reject it because it's your own money that you spent? No, you're happy because their motivation is, we want to please you, right? And you're touched by it. That's our Father. He knows the motivations of our heart. Well, not only does he know our motivations, but he is perfect. He's perfect in his knowledge of us. He's perfect in hearing our petitions. Look in verse 5 of Matthew 6. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of even before you ask him. Our Father is perfect in hearing our petitions. He's perfect in knowing exactly what our need is and knowing the perfect way and the perfect timing to meet that need. You remember, speaking of perfect timing, going back, it says when the fullness of time had come, when the perfect time had come to send Jesus to this earth, God did that. Well, God will do the same thing in your life. You may not understand why. Some things you'll never understand in this life. But there are many times that you will be able to look back on life and you'll begin to see, I understand it now. It was God's perfect timing. Or God was getting me ready for this or for that. God's timing is always perfect, and he's perfect in hearing our petitions, perfect in hearing our prayers and knowing how to answer them. He's a good father. He's also, not only is he perfect in his knowledge of us, he's perfect in hearing our prayer, he's also perfect in providing for our needs. Look at Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. I know this is a lot of scripture this morning, but I want you to catch it all. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You know, it'd do you well to underline Father in all these passages. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature, or can make his life one bit longer? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow through is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Catch this, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows, folks. He knows what our need is. And he's perfectly able to meet it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, the things that you need, the necessities for life. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is saying that our Father is perfect in providing for our needs. Now, we know that, but do we sometimes forget to live that way? Do we sometimes start to fret and worry and allow fear to fill our heart about what are we going to do tomorrow? Yeah, I know I've got some food right here for today, and I've got a shelter for today, but what about tomorrow? If you're like me, you do that all the time. And yet Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't fret. Why? Because you have a good Father who knows how to provide for your every need. He does it repeatedly for the birds of the air, the grass of the ground, and you are so much more precious to him than these things. You see, the reason our hearts are filled with anxiety and fear is because we've forgotten who our Father is, and we've forgotten to turn to him as our Abba, our Daddy, Father. Not only is he perfect in providing for our needs, but you'll love this one. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. He's also perfect in disciplining for our good. Every one of us likes to be chastened or disciplined, right? When I was a kid, I woke up every morning just anxious for that time when I'd get disciplined, right? No, Dad would come home. If I'd done something in the afternoon, we'll read this in just a minute. If I'd done something in the afternoon that for some reason my mom didn't like, you know, maybe, yeah, she had told me to do that certain thing, and yes, I did mouth off at her, but she, for some reason, she didn't like that. I got a couple of smirks, thank you. Yes, I was a rascal. Okay. So anyway, if I had done something and she said, well, just wait till your father gets home. Go to your room and just wait till your father gets home. Oh boy. That was not a happy waiting. I would sweat in the room. And I'd know he was home because of a certain sound. My father had this big old leather belt. And it was one of those, it was a two-hole belt, you know, with the two buckle, double buckle. And I would know he was home because the first thing he would do is he'd change out of his clothes and put on more relaxing clothes. And I would hear that belt, the jingle of it, and then it popping through the, through the belt loops. And depending on how fast it was popping, my thought was, is he going for my brother first or for me? I experienced chastening. I didn't enjoy it at the moment, but one thing that I realized, and I realize even now, is the reason my dad disciplined me with that belt is because he loved me. Yeah, he was perturbed at me sometimes, but ultimately, deep down, he loved me. Now, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is perfect in his discipline towards us. We may not enjoy it, but this is a good thing. It's because of his love for us that he corrects us. Read Hebrews 12, 9 through 11. It says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them. But notice this. He says, but he for our what? He for our profit. Now I've got to confess, sometimes my kids will come to me. I know I'm using a lot of personal illustrations this morning, but sometimes my kids will come to me and ask me, can they do something? And I'll say no, just because I don't want to do it. But God's not like that. Hudson, you can't use that. God's not like that. There's a lot of times when there's another reason. But sometimes it's just, I don't want to do it. It's because that's my preference. But God's not like that. When he disciplines us for our profit, for his glory, and for our good. Both. It's for our own good that he does it. That's what he says. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. He's conforming us to his image. He's conforming us to what he's called us to be. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. He's perfect in his knowledge of us. He's perfect in hearing our prayer. He's perfect in providing for our needs. He's perfect in disciplining for our good. He's perfect in his plans for you and me. Romans 4, verses 14 through 17 say this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. This is very similar to Galatians, by the way. But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. His plans for you and I are to glorify us in Christ for all eternity. His plans are perfect towards us. He wants our best, and it's going to come to fruition when we see him face to face, and one day we are with him and we will rejoice forevermore with him, because then we will see what he's been fashioning us to be for his glory and for our ultimate good. He's perfect in his plans for us. He's also perfect in his love towards us. Right before going to the cross, Jesus, in John chapter 16, says this about the Father. 16, verse 27. He says, for the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. Jesus was about to go and demonstrate his love for his disciples, demonstrate his love for you and me, but he's saying, it's not just my love, it's the Father's love. The Father himself loves you. Because you have loved me and believed that I came forth from God. Our Heavenly Father is perfect in His love for you and I. So when Paul writes in Galatians 4 that we receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whereby we say, Abba, Daddy, Father, what he's saying is we can go to Him for our every need. We can go to Him with our petitions. We can go to Him knowing that He knows us perfectly and He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what He's trying to do in our life and that He will accomplish His goals, and we can trust Him and that He loves us perfectly. What kind of Father we have. What privilege we've been given. Amen? This is the relationship that we have. This is the blessing of relationship. Well, Paul turns in Galatians 4, verse 8. He says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, but served those which by nature are not gods. He's talking about our former way of life. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, in other words, you're in relationship with God, you've got this wonderful relationship, you're walking in fellowship with Him, and you have access to Him through Jesus Christ. How is it, he says, how is it that you now turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? And in other words, what he's telling these Galatians is you want to go back to ritual? You've got a relationship with the King of Kings. You've got a relationship with the Lord of Glory, and you want to go back to trying to earn it by a ritual? That's what he's really screaming at them. He gives them a testimony. I'm going to read these next few verses, then I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts in summary. He says in verse 10, you observe days. This is Galatians 4, verse 10. Months, seasons, and years. These were the traditions that they thought, we've got to keep these certain days. We've got to observe these certain practices. And by the way, folks, I have some extended family members that they grew up in the church. And they profess to know the Lord, but as they've gotten older, they still love the Lord. They have a zeal for Him, but they're in bondage. The reason they're in bondage is because they have believed that they have to go back and actually live the Jewish law in order to be pleasing to God. And so they wear certain things on their clothes, they dress a certain way, and they observe certain days and times. Now, there's nothing wrong with having certain holidays and all that, but if you're doing that because you think that's going to make you more pleasing to God, what Paul says here is that no, you're just following a ritual. It's empty. You have total access to God through Jesus Christ. You can't get any better than that. And so I pray for these family members, because what's happened is, though they believe that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, they're missing out on a lot of joy and fellowship with Him, because they think they have to do all these things to stay pleasing in His sight. All these rituals. Well, you and I may not wear certain clothes or dress up certain ways, but is it possible for us to go through the motions and make Christianity just a ritual rather than what God intended it to be, and that is a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords through His Word by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's only by faith. Well, that's what was going on with these Gentile believers, and so Paul appeals to them. Verse 12, he says, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You've not injured me at all. You know, and he testifies to how they received him when he first came, that they rejoiced at the word that he gave. But then down in verse 17, he says, these people that want you to convert back to Judaism, he says, they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you. You may be zealous for them, but it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, not only when I'm present with you. My little children, he says, verse 19, whom I labor and birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now to change my tone. He says, for I have doubts about you. What Paul's doing here is he's appealing to them not to go back into bondage. The The Galatians were trying to please God through empty relationship. I'm sorry, through empty ritual, not relationship. When they had already been adopted by God as his children, they already had a relationship. And those that came to them that wanted to lead them in this ritualistic worship were doing so for their own reputations and their own boasting. Well, you read all this and you say, well, what type of people should we be? I'm going to leave you with two thoughts this morning. What should our response be to Galatians chapter 4? First of all, we should be a people that walk in joyful assurance. You say, what do you mean by that? We should walk in the assurance of who our Father is. We should walk in the assurance that we are made perfect and righteous because of Jesus, not because of what we've done. And because of who our Father is, we should walk in the assurance that He hears our prayer. He knows our need. He loves us perfectly. He'll correct us when we go astray, and that's a good thing. And He knows everything about us. And yet, He still loves us perfectly. We should be a people that walk in that assurance. Do you have that assurance today? Or have you gotten stuck in a rut? Have you gotten stuck in your walk with the Lord and just going through the motions rather than actually fellowshipping with God through His Word? If so, that's not God's plan for you. God doesn't want you just going through ritualistic motions. He wants you to walk in the assurance of who He is and the joy of fellowship with Him. How do you get back there? You say simply, Lord, speak to me through Your Word. Show me more about who You are. It's simply by faith in Christ, not self-effort. That's number one. Walk in assurance of who your Father is. Number two, what type of people should we be? We should be a people that express the love of the Father to those who are still on the outside. In other words, what we should do is we should realize that God has made us a part of His family. And what an awesome thing that is. And because we're now part of God's family, because He's given us these blessings and privileges, we want to extend that to others. We want to be a channel through whom God can show His love to others so that they too can be made a part of His family. That's going to look different for every one of us. God's going to call you in some way as a follower of Him to become a channel of His love to somebody else and to demonstrate for others what it's like to become adopted into His family. How has God called you to that? So two things this morning from Galatians chapter 4. First of all, walk in the assurance of who your Father is. That He knows you, He loves you, He's promised to provide for you, He hears your prayer. And He does all this perfectly. And yes, He disciplines you, and praise God for that. But it's perfect. But then also, say, Lord, because You so perfectly love me, how can I show love? How can I demonstrate? How can I model that love? How do You want to express Your love to others through me? Would you stand with me this morning? Galatians 4. The bondage of ritual, or do you want to walk in the blessing of relationship? If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have the assurance, the joy that comes by knowing that you're redeemed, that your sins have been forgiven, that, as the Scripture says, they've been removed as far as the east is from the west, and that you now have a Father who loves you and cares for you. If that's you this morning, you don't know those things, then this morning is for you to simply say this: God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I need forgiveness. And I can never earn it. But I thank you that Jesus has paved the way for me, that Jesus came and died in my place. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again, and I'm asking you to save me. If that's you this morning, you simply pray that in your own heart to the Lord and ask him to save you. It's not some magic words, it's simply faith in what he's done. Christian, you're here this morning, you hear this message, you say, well, Brother Nathan, I think I've slipped back some into just making it I'm going through the motions. I just show up because that's what I'm supposed to do. But I want to get back to the joy of being in fellowship with Jesus. The joy of relating to the Father, of walking in fellowship with him. And Christian, all that's needed is to simply say that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want that joy of fellowship with you once more. He's a good Father. And all those things that we just mentioned about assurance of who he is to you. That's you this morning. Simply tell that to him. If you've got another need, you'd like to join the church, or if you prayed to receive the Lord and you need to express that, need to make that known, I'd invite you to come forward as Becky plays at this time.